Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is a belated, I guess, reaction show to Brighton and also just to discuss the season so far, with it being another international break. I know we all hate them, but I guess it gives time for some players to get back from injury and we can discuss how Liverpool have been doing so far. But before we get into it all, I'm Mick, as hopefully that you know, and I'm joined by Christian. As always, he's back again. How are you doing, lad?
Yeah, good. Only a week left now.
It's one of them. I'd love to see like a clip all together where it's like only 2 months left till I get coming out. It's like now seven weeks, now five, six, four, three.
Exactly. No, it's good. It's what is it? It's Thursday, so coming close to the weekend. Obviously, not a fan of international football, you know, and the breaks that comes with it. So kind of not knowing now what I'm going to do this weekend, except for obviously hanging out with the family and stuff. But you always look forward to games. That's the thing. It's just part of your weekend. So, yeah, you know, everything good. But I'm looking forward to coming over and actually have a weekend in Liverpool. That's the main thing now.
Yeah, I think it's good in a way for you because you've got that to look forward to. And the international break might seem long, but it's like, well, at least you can just count down the days till you're flying over and whatever. So that's good. And we might as well talk about Brighton, of course, first, because it was 4 days ago now, which, I mean, it seems longer, I guess, ago. But I just had to recap on the events of the day. And what were your thoughts on it as a whole before we get stuck into, I guess, more of the specifics on the day?
Obviously, could have been better, but we had a really difficult first half. I thought went to do better things in the second half, but obviously fucked up anyway. So in total, it's a game where there were moments where you think like that's good, but there were also moments where you think that these kind of situation we need to just get rid of. We can't keep on doing that kind of stuff because that will lose points for us. But in terms of starting 11, I was. I would have liked Gravenberch to start. I think I said that when we talked before that. But when I saw the starting 11, I was very happy. I thought maybe Konate would start, but obviously Matip was starting and stuff. But I didn't have anything to complain about. What about you?
Yeah, I was the same. I think we both agreed on the preview show. Like Konate, we thought we'd come back in. We thought new Trent would come back in, but the surprise was the was so Szoboszlai had to kind of go over to the left and Elliott to kind of accommodate Elliott on the right a little bit, which I feel like when you've got McAllister out of his most natural position, I think he can still do a good job there. I think he did in parts. Obviously, the goal doesn't kind of help in that, but there was other people that I felt there and different reasons why. But like when you're, I guess, messing with the system a little bit too much in the players that have kind of already made us doing so well so far, when you mess with too many of the moving parts in it, I guess you have to expect a little bit more, the level not to be quite as high. So if you're shifting Szoboszlai over to put Elliott in and you've got McAllister in there, you're obviously missing Jota, you're missing Gakpo, Konate didn't start either. So there's a lot of players there that would be involved in the starting 11 who weren't involved. So I think these type of games, especially against Brighton, where I think we change the system as well. We go more of a diamond as well in terms of like when we're defending from the front with Szoboszlai at the tip of that. So it's a little bit more different in terms of how we defend against them, because like we did reference on the preview show as well in terms of the praise that the Zerbi gets, and rightly so, and how good they are in transition, counter attacks, just in terms of the passing ability and the players that they've got in terms of just keeping hold of the ball and knocking it around nicely. I think Liverpool had to kind of adapt to that a little bit, especially being away from home. But I thought like the first half, like you said, the first goal comes on the 20th minute, and mentioned McAllister, and it's a when you look back at it again, Van Dijk's got an easy pass to Robertson. It's easy to say that now, like with it happening the way it did, but I just feel like it put him under a lot of pressure when he was already being closed down anyway. And then he isn't the quickest player, he's very technically good, but he's not the fastest. So once they nick it off him, and then Alisson just isn't expecting the shot, and it goes, and it all happens so quickly that I was like, I couldn't actually believe that it was a goal, because it was just like, it was just a sucker punch to the belly. And I was like, fuck's sake. Like, you want to start these games as well as you can, but we know Liverpool don't like to do that, which is annoying. But it just, again, it wasn't the start we wanted, was it?
No, and you know, giving away goals like that, you know, it's one thing if you concede a goal that, you know, it's a great bit of play from the opposition. You can't complain about that, even if you always think you could defend better. But you know, in this case, we just gave the ball away and they could score. It was like, yeah, here's an open goal, just have it, here it is, you know. That's the problem there. But you know, I was a little bit, I obviously know that McAllister should have done so much better, because he needs to be on his toes and actually know where players are around him and all that. But I think Van Dijk, you know, choose the worst option with his pass as well, because I know I wrote to you about Van Dijk that, you know, in the start of this game and during the first half, I thought he was too slow on the ball. He stood with the ball, you know, instead of receiving the ball and try to pass it straight away to like Robertson or back to the other, like Matip in this case, or even using Alisson or even up to a midfielder, you need to do it quicker, because if you take the time, the opposition have the time to adjust their positions and come into, you know, cover some space or come close to the other players. So if you move the ball quickly, then obviously you have the opposition moving all over the pitch, which is the whole ideal of playing football, and get them to move and find spaces where they aren't at the moment, because you move them around. So with passing the ball quickly. So I thought, you know, by, it was just not that moment, because he actually stood on the ball, waited a lot. And I was like, well, now you're just giving them the option to actually, you know, just come into their positions and they can just stand and wait, because now they closed us down. So I thought he made the wrong decision by passing that ball to McAllister in the first place. I thought that was not very fair against McAllister. But then obviously McAllister needs to be more aware of what's going on and all that. So it's just a very bad goal in many moments that happened. And obviously Alisson was out of his position as well. But yeah, I'll give Van Dijk a little bit of stick for that goal, to be honest.
Yeah, I think McAllister needs to be quicker, but yeah, the pass is just a bit, yeah, he's expecting a lot. Like McAllister needs to either turn really quickly on it or literally spin a pass around straight away, just to kind of get it away, because we know Brighton press high, and the coach so very well, even Klopp mentioned after the game, like he's always impressed by how good Brighton are. So you need to be in those small spaces. You need to be perfect, really. So it's one of those that we need to definitely take lessons from. But like you said, the first half weren't too good, but Salah does get the goal on 40 minutes, and it's a lovely little goal in terms of how we get up the pitch, and a little bit of interplay, and then it falls to Elliott, and Mo obviously screams behind him, fucking leave it, it's mine. And then Salah just smacks it in bottom corner. And you're thinking, like, just before half time, it's the perfect time to score. And it was, yeah, it was a lovely goal to get us back level.
Yeah, and that's the perfect example of, you know, what happens when you move the ball quickly. That's the thing. You know, they don't have the ability at that moment to actually follow what happens. So, you know, we just make the ball move. They are out of their positions. And it, you know, turns out that obviously Salah, where he comes from, just get like a free position to score from. So obviously it's a different thing to move the ball around quickly in the offensive area than maybe in the defensive area. Even if, like I said before, you want to move the ball quickly wherever you are to make the opposition move. But yeah, it's a great goal because it goes so quick. They can't, you know, adjust their positions and make sure they're on the right side and, you know, defend. So it's just, you know, quick play and great awareness of the players that are involved. And it's a great finish from Mo Salah as well. And even though if he shouts to Elliot or if he doesn't, I don't know. But it's just like also awareness from Elliot to actually know that his feet are not adjusted, you know, perfectly to take the finish, while Mo Salah comes perfectly into where the ball's coming, can just get his foot on it and, you know, curl it around the goalkeeper. So it's a great goal in terms also with, you know, how they managed to in very short period of time, like a split second, just understand where the other players are, like Elliot did this in this moment. So yeah, lovely goal. And that's what, when you need a goal in that time, in a half as well, you know, just before half time, and you think that hopefully that can set the speed for the second half, you know, just give us the confidence to go out and do the same thing, you know, for the last 45 minutes.
Yeah, and it's only a couple of minutes later where we get the penalty, and again, it's nice little plays. Obviously, is about to score, I guess, or pass it, or do whatever. Basically, do whatever he wants, and he gets his shirt torn off his back. And
it's a great bit of play there as well. Just before that happens, obviously, it's great passing. You know, that's the thing. It creates loads when you do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The quick, incisive passing that we know we can do. We just need to do more of it, especially against a very good Brighton side. But yeah, the penalty again is like, it's a pen and it's obvious. So, but then there's the whole, I don't even think he was booked. Is it a red card? Just at this point, like when stuff happens and if it's to give certain bits and don't give over others, I'm just like, whatever. I'm like at the point now where I'm like, I'm just expecting mistakes and whatever every game that doesn't surprise me anymore. But I mean, every time now we get a penalty, I'm like, is Mo going to take it? And then he steps up. And then, of course, we always mention being a bit worried about Mo stepping up to pens. And I was a bit worried. And I always have that chat that we had in the back of my mind. Is like worried about his penalty taking ability, which is a bit mad considering how good he is at them. But well, let's talk about the decision. Like, obviously, it's a penalty and whatever. But what are your thoughts on the other bits involved?
First you think, you see it and you'd be like, it's a penalty, you know, it's a clear one, they give it. And then obviously with the VAR check, you're thinking, are they looking at it not being a penalty? But then you think, well, they're probably looking at, is it a possible red card instead? Because if they would look at something that would say it's not a penalty, I would fucking throw the TV out of the window, to be honest, because that's very obvious, you know, with he's pulling his shirt and all that. But yeah, you know, I don't know the rules that much and that perfectly. But, you know, when they said, you know, it should, you know, some wrote that he should have been sent off because it is a clear goal chance. You know, it's just for him to score. But then they said they didn't set him off because whoever checked, you know, the VAR, he needed to adjust his body more to be, you know, straight on goal and stuff like that. I'd be like, oh, fuck it. I can't be bothered with all those rules. So I think, you know, it should have been, in my point of view, how I see it as a support, just watching the game on TV, I see the pull. I see that he goes down. It's an obvious penalty. It's a yellow card. That's what I see. I don't see a send-off there because there's a goalkeeper still. There's players around, you know, it's not a tackle from behind or a dangerous kind of play. So I'll see penalty, yellow card. That's for me. But if they check red card, you know, of the possibility for red card for different things, I can't be bothered with it anymore. It's too many small details that I just like. I don't like it in the game. I just see penalty, yellow card. That's in my world would be, you know, normal.
Yeah, well, I don't want to bring up the Diaz stuff again, but like you look at the City Arsenal game where Kovacic makes a horrific tackle, and you're looking at the Jones one and you're going, wait there, what's going on? And then he makes another one straight after. And it's like, then you get Hal Webb saying they didn't want to disrupt the game. They want to keep it as even as possible. But then in the Liverpool game, the referee wanted to do everything he could to give us as few players on the pitch as he possibly could, even after giving us a bad decision. So it's like, whatever they're saying, it just doesn't align exactly to what's happening on the pitch. So they're just all over the place and they're trying to cover themselves up, basically, which is exactly what you expect from these referees, which is just horrific. And just expect it to get worse. That's just the easiest way to kind of just, I mean, you shouldn't have to, but it's just, it's just pretty poor. But on the pen then, like, it was, when it's, he slotted in, you're just like, there's Mo, he's back. He's back with more goals. And it's just normal service was resumed and a perfect goal just before the half as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you mentioned before, you know, sometimes a little bit concerned about Mo Salah stepping up, even though he does score most of them. It's just the way sometimes, you know, hits the ball. It's not as clean and or accurate as, like we mentioned before as well, Milner or someone else that we know is just fucking, you know, perfection when it comes from taking, you know, penalties. But yeah, he's, you know, he scores and you can see that he has loads of confidence at the moment. You know, he scored the first one, he scored the second one. He's got, I don't know how many goals he got now in the Premier League this season already, but, you know, he's always involved. He's, you know, the main man, you know, he's assisting, he's scoring, he's in dangerous areas. So you can see that he enjoys himself playing, and when his confidence is high as well, he steps up even more, you know, in his game. So, you know, he's a world-class player. So it's just brilliant to have him, and knowing that he probably plays every single game because he's obviously rested in some games where, like, it's needed for example, Europa League or whatever, but he's always there. He's never injured. He can always come on. He can always make an impact. So, you know, we just love Mo Salah, don't we?
We do. I just had a quick look. It was his fifth goal of the season, and he's got four assists to go. So I got five goals and four assists in eight games.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
9 and 8. So if you look at the other players that have got, so Haaland's got 8 and assisted 1. So he's got 9 as well. Isak on 6, Son on 6, Bowen on 5. So in terms of, like, most goal contributions in the league so far, he's level with Haaland. Haaland's got 8 goals, 1 assist. Mo's got five goals and 4 assists. And it was, we always mention his goal scoring, but we've got to do it again. It was his 192nd Liverpool goal. So by my calculations, he's only 37 goals now behind Billy Little in fourth place. So, I mean, if he does it this season, I mean, you wouldn't put him past him, because we're still early in Premier League season and whatever else, add another international break, like we said, which is annoying. Yeah. But we it's the times of days where you can just look back and just look forward to see how close he is to these type of players. And I mean, only 8 goals off the 200 mark as well, which again is just...
He will obviously reach there in a short period of time. And, you know, if he continues in this rate this season, he will score quite many goals if it continues like this, which means that, you know, he could be able to, if he stays after, you know, summer, we don't know about that and we see what happens. But, you know, if he stays and continues his journey with us, he could be, you know, it could be possible for him to actually reach Billy Little, to be honest, you know, next season if he continues in this rate now this season to close down that gap. So it's, when you look at it, you know, in modern football, you know, and for someone who you know, played for us for quite many seasons now, but, you know, the numbers are unbelievable, and we say it every time, but, you know, that's the thing, when we look back on Mo Salah in 5-10 years time, we will understand, and we understand it now, but it's always more, and when you look back on it in hindsight, you'll be like, we did experience something fucking legendary at that time. You know, there probably won't be for a long, long time that a player will have an impact in terms of goals and assists like Mo Salah did for us.
Yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous. And I mean, like, the whole Hazard retiring as well, of course, that just always is on Twitter anyway, like the Hazard versus Salah debate. So when Hazard has announced his retirement at 32, but he's been at Madrid for however long, and he hasn't played, I don't think he's played over 25 games in all competitions since he's been there. So Yeah,
he was brilliant. He was great. Wonderful to watch, and obviously scored quite many goals against us. But I thought, you know, he was one of the best players in the world for a period of time, and you know, probably the best player in the Premier League for a couple of seasons as well. But you need to maintain that level for a long period of time and keep on having your numbers going to be. I would say, yeah, it's one of the best players I've seen on the pitch in terms of the way of skills and moving on the pitch with the ball, scoring goals and awesome goals. But, you know, Salah is further ahead of him because of the numbers he's giving constantly season after season in the best league in the world. So, you know, it's not even a debate, is it?
Yeah, I know. It's not even close for me, but it's just funny because, like, you see this, like, tribalism online about, like... So, like, if you try to compare, I guess, Van Dijk to... Let's say Terry, for example, we'd say he's quality, he's got all the skills, he's better in every department. But then Chelsea fans would say, oh, but he hasn't won this many trophies, he didn't play for this long. But then your Hazard comparison about Salah is the exact same. You're saying the same things that we are, that he's played for longer, he's been better for longer, he's scored more goals, he's got this, he's won this, won this. So they just change, mix and match the arguments for debates depending on who it is. I just find it all. I mean, I don't get involved in it because I just laugh at it, but it's not even close with Mo Salah. And Hazard was a great, great player, he was, but yeah, I just wanted to bring that up and just squash that straight away, that it's not even close. So don't even think about it. But I wish we didn't have to go back to Brighton, because of course we have to discuss about the second half. And I mean, we had some good chances. The main one is, of course, we mentioned Ryan Gravenberch and how we wanted them to start the game. But he comes on a half time for Elliot, and he has an absolutely great chance to basically kill the game. It would have been 3-1, would have been game over. And that was like a moment that you'd be like, oh, if that goes in, it's the game's done, isn't it?
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, and, you know, Elliot struggled, I think, you know, in the whole game. So I understand the substitution of him in halftime. And, you know, on comes Gravenberch, who's been showing us what a great, you know, player is, and loads of skills that he has in the games that he has been playing, you know, with the points he has done, the goals he has already scored. So I was really excited about him coming on. And I thought, you know, now we've got someone with a little bit more physique and, you know, skill set and good with the ball, driving it forward. And yeah, he showed that straight away. I think, you know, that he was involved in the game. He had an impact on it, which I liked. You know, I thought we were more solid. We were better in the whole defending areas in midfield. I thought, you know, he just gave us something more of a body in the midfield. And then he got the chance, you know, great play and, you know, the ball in, and he just, it's one of them, you know, it's just unlucky, you know, it goes in the bar, because sometimes it's hard probably to adjust your body to get a perfect touch on it like that. It goes up, hits the bar, and it's like, oh, fucking hell, it could have been, like you said, it could have been done there, 3-1, no chance for them coming back, obviously, because I think we would be able to control the game. But then, you know, you think we're still 2-1 up, and, you know, we're just thinking, hold on to this now, keep on, you know, defending and be strong and aggressive. But obviously, it was the total opposite that happened when they score their goal.
Yeah, it was. I mean, even when I haven't seen like the free kick for the goal, but at the time I was thinking that's just such a, it felt like a soft free kick. And I mean, just a soft free kick to give away in those areas where, you know, they've got good delivery, they've got tall fellas, they've got people who can score in those areas. And I feel like just the free kick, the ball in, and then like the reaction from the lads in there who were trying to get whatever they could on it. I just felt like it just was a little bit short, especially when you're getting towards like 10 minutes left and you're like, right, we've got like once you get to 80, like, right, we can then just like start to wind the clock down a little bit. And I mean, Liverpool aren't typically good at that because we don't like doing that. We like to just keep going forward and keep attacking. But once you're starting to get into like 80 and 81, 82, like the team are maybe worrying a little bit more, and then maybe they scuff chances and whatever. But it was just like annoyingly the perfect time for them to get a goal and then try and build on it. But I just wasn't a fan of like how it happened, like the free kick and the way we conceded it, really.
Yeah, you know, the free kick, I haven't seen the moment back where he gives the free kick for them, so I can't remember what happened live, because you watch it go so quick and then you see it's a free kick and you'll be like, shit, this is a great chance for them, just hope they don't score, which they obviously go on and do. But I've seen more of the replay of our defending, especially Robertson's defending. You know, I know it's his wrong foot, if you like, and it's maybe hard for him to adjust his body in a quick way when it happens. But I think, you know, it just looks really, you know, I mentioned something on Twitter about saying he looked like a scared little boy defending that ball, because it was like he shrugged back a bit and didn't. I just would have loved if he's just put his head in or body in or whatever, because if he just do that and a foot comes up or whatever, he's got a free kick for him, and you know, that's that. But the way he just don't go at the ball or even try to get his body there, it's just, you know, it's shite defending in my opinion. And I just want people to be more like, okay, if I can't get my foot in there, just get your fucking head in there. Then you get paid so much money. You can take a little hit on your head for that and, you know, make sure that we don't concede a goal at that moment. But yeah, we did. And I was disappointed with the way that we defended. And at that time, it felt like we could lose all points here, or we will only get one point, that we need to make sure that happened, because I couldn't see us. We can always go on and score, but it just feels like, you know, when in a momentum and it doesn't happen with the Gravenberch goal and we concede, it just feels like that's that. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I felt the same. I feel like it's so annoying when you concede like that, but when you get to 90 minutes and you're like, the game's over, you're like, it's probably a fair result in terms of how the game panned out. I think like possession-wise, shots on target and stuff like that, it felt quite evenly matched, I thought. And obviously Brighton, the sixth in the lead, on 16 points, we're in fourth on 17 points. So we're only one behind City. Of course, they got beat by Arsenal, which we discussed as well. And like that was an ideal result in terms of, I mean, I think a draw would have been ideal, but like if you're going to have anyone win, you want Arsenal to win, not Man City. So we're only a point behind City. We're only three behind Arsenal and Spurs, of course, after they won as well last game, after the building on the win over us. So I feel like it's nicely compact up there. I think we're in a really good position. Of course, like Villa and Brighton are just a point behind us. You've got West Ham 3 points behind us, Newcastle four behind us. So it's quite tight up there. But I feel like we're in a really good position. I think if you factor in the teams we've played, like, if you look through the teams we played, like we've had some difficult, like Brighton away, Spurs away, Chelsea away. We've had some really difficult games there in the first part of the season. And if you look at the fixtures after the international break, like starting with Everton, it looks, I mean, on paper is obviously easier to say, but it looks like it's a bit more favourable for us. And I feel like anyone, if you put any team, I guess, into Liverpool's shoes in the first eight games, I feel like 90% of them wouldn't have got the same amount of points as we have. So I feel like we're in a really good position, I think, in terms of how we've started the season.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's been difficult games, and especially having, you know, send-offs like that just go in every game for it felt like. But still managed to come out, you know, with 3 points away at Newcastle. You know, playing well against Tottenham, even though, you know, what happened in that game, obviously, made sure that we didn't get the 3 points or even a draw. Because I think the way we started that game and the way we play in that game, we could have actually come away with the 3 points. We were that good. But, you know, circumstances changed that, obviously. So if you look at it, then the games we actually have played, and like you mentioned, Chelsea was the first game, and, you know, they seem to have the worst and most shitty team of the ones we played away. But it's the first of the season. You never know what you're going to meet, you know, going to come up against. So it's more of a first game of the season, get it done with, and it's away. So, you know, I would say, you know, a point away against Chelsea first game is okay, and even really good, you know, in normal circumstances. But, you know, look at the first, what is it, eight games, and where we are in the table, having Everton next at home. You know, I'm very pleased, and the way we played football most of the time in these games where, you know, within your midfield, because sometimes you need fucking 10 games before a midfield clicks and, you know, things goes like you want to. But I think even though there's still room for improvement, you know, for McAllister maybe in his role, and, you know, Gravenberch coming in now, learning his trade more and more. I think with Szoboszlai, McAllister, or, you know, Elliot or Curtis or whatever, for a totally new midfield that is quite young but still experienced, of course, thinking of that we actually, you know, replaced the whole of the old players that were there before, and we needed to, you know, we needed that change. If you look at that and how quick we actually made sure that they come into how we play, how we, you know, how to adjust to the tactics and how Klopp wants us to play, it's really unbelievable, to be honest, because sometimes you can wait half a season for something like that to happen when so many players actually go out and so many new comes in that should have an impact straight away. So I'm very pleased and very much looking forward to the derby now.
Yeah, and you'll be in person to watch it, so it's even better. Yeah, and I actually didn't mention the Newcastle. So, like, in terms of what we've played so far, like, so we drew 1-1 with Chelsea away, beat Bournemouth 3-1 at home, beat Newcastle 2-1 away, beat Villa 3-0 sorry, at home, beat Wolves 3-1 at their place as well, beat West Ham 3-1 at home, lost 2-1 to Spurs, and yeah, drew 2-2 with Brighton. So away games there, Brighton, Spurs, Wolves and Newcastle and Chelsea. That's five. So that's, have I counted right there? So Brighton, Spurs, Wolves, Newcastle and Chelsea. Yeah, so five away games out of the eight. So we've only played three at home. So that's obviously, the next game will be at home against Everton. But I feel like, like I said, like the amount of quality teams there that we've played and we've got good results against. Like you said, the Spurs one, I still think we would have won that one if we would have had 11 players on the pitch. But even if we had 10 and the Diaz goal was allowed, I still think we would have won that game.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's very promising signs. And I think when you look at the time, when you're fourth, but when you factor in like how close we are to those teams, and especially Arsenal and Spurs, like, I don't fancy either of them really to keep it up for all the season. That they're going to have dips because they're not, I mean, Arsenal less so than Spurs, but I feel like it's always going to be City, isn't it? That are going to be the ones you need to keep pace with, and we're only 1 point behind going into a derby against Everton, who are looking like they're starting to be a little bit better. They won the last game.
It's good, but, though, you know, they have a little bit of belief, and then we just go
and then we can just crush them back again. Yeah. So yeah, it's nice reading for me, especially when you factor in the games played and stuff. So I think that's like it's a good point that we need to factor into what we're looking at in terms of overall picture and stuff. But before we get into anything else, I just saw a bit of breaking news about the upper tier of the Anfield Road stand. So it will remain closed until 2024 in a further delay to the expansion project. Supporters who bought tickets for the Everton game will be contacted by the club. So not ideal, really, I guess. No. The whole stuff with the company who were doing it and whatever else, there's been loads of shit going on, hasn't there? But I guess the longer that's dragging out, they can only delay it longer. But it's just, I guess, disappointing for fans who are gonna miss out on the game because of that. So not the best, really. And I guess in the international break when there's no footy, like, that's just a bit of a sour one, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's I'm a person who never really reads into, you know, the information and what comes out when it comes to these rebuilds or, you know, projects, because I'm not really bothered. I'm just obviously happy they are, you know, making Anfield bigger so we get more fans in, you know, and more people can go to the game and all that kind of stuff. That's brilliant, and, you know, for atmosphere and knowing that the club obviously earns money on it as well, and but we get, you know, a big crowd backing the team. That's perfect and that's boss. But, you know, I just can't be bothered to reading why, you know, the other company or whatever got busted, or why they couldn't keep on doing it, and what's going to happen now because of the new ones coming in. It's too much for me. So I'll be like, shit, obviously, that it happens now and they need to delay it until the new year, because obviously there's going to be a few more games that will be, you know, having an impact on not only Everton. Obviously, there will be people who have bought tickets for other games that might just not then already now know that they won't be able to go, because if it's not open until 2024, that means that I don't know what home games or who we will play, but there's a certain amount of 3-4 maybe before their new year. And, you know, they know if they bought a ticket in the new stand, which should have been done by now, they still miss out. I think it's not very good. It's sad for the people who have, you know, planned trips from abroad, like I do. You know, when I bought tickets, I was looking at maybe, you know, have a few tickets in the new stand just because trying it out. I'm very happy that I didn't do it now, because I would have done it for the Everton game, I would be fucked. Yeah. And, you know, I already paid for other things, you know, that I wouldn't get the money back for, because obviously I can get sick or something else can happen. But that's just, you know, unlucky then. But this is out of my control and shouldn't be a problem, because it should be, you know, already done and dusted. So it's not very good. I'm very sad for the people affected. It's, you know, people pay a lot of money to go and see their favorite football team, whatever they are. So, you know, it's just one of them where you'd be like, fucking hell, you need to, you know, sort this out now. But, you know, hopefully with the delay, they manage to get a plan out and they can manage to get sorted out until the new year, and we can go from there. You know, we can't do anything anyway, so.
Yeah. It's the next three games are our own. We've got Everton, Toulouse in the Europa, and then Nottingham Forest as well on the 29th. So that's, I guess, when people look at the fixtures, like, yeah, we've got the next three games at home, so it's even worse in a way. But we still want, of course, like I mentioned, like 5 away games and 3 at home in the league. So we want more home games, of course, because Liverpool at home, especially the way we've been playing and stuff, is exciting. Everton is exciting. I don't want to end on that note, but in terms of, I guess, a bit of negativity, but it is. I have to mention it because that's kind of what's going on right now. So what are your thoughts then on the, I mean, we talked about the season quite generally and whatever, but if you had to give a rating out of 10, I don't really like ratings or score predictions or whatever, but we do it anyway. But what would you give it in terms of how we've done so far?
I think I'd give it an 8, to be honest, because we mentioned away games that it's been difficult. We had red cards, still managed to come out with 3 points, like I said, against Newcastle. Obviously, Bournemouth was at home, but still a red card, which makes it more difficult. We were really good, like I mentioned, too, against Spurs. But, you know, the referees fucked that up for us in the way they were, you know, with the VAR. So looking at what we got from all those games and what have happened to us in terms of red cards and decisions, but, and like I said, the rebuild of the midfield and having other players obviously been out of injuries and things like that, I think it's an 8 out of 10, because you can never reach 10 at this early stage. You would have won every game, obviously, and be at the top and all that. But in terms of all that, I think, you know, we'd be done really, really good. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, see where we go with this, because I think it's hard to say, you know, if we're going to be able to compete for the league, because like you said, Arsenal and Tottenham, I think they will drop off. Everything will be about City if they can get their bad form away and then go on and maintain their, you know, brilliance that they actually have. You know, even if we put all the fucking cheat stuff away, they have a brilliant team and play brilliant, smart football. But, you know, if they already have their dips, and I think they will have more because they got some, you know, really important players out, you know, like De Bruyne, and, you know, they just trying new things and it doesn't really work. You know, even if Wolves can go and get points, other teams can as well. So if they drop off a few points and then, you know, Arsenal, Tottenham won't, you know, maintain their top levels all the time, I think it can be quite many teams in the top competing for it a very long time, because I would like that instead of Man City being at the top and then just go with it and it's done by March or April or whatever. So I'd rather see many teams being involved, and it would be, you know, 1 point, lose 1 point, it would have a massive impact, you know. It's, so I get more excited about that. So hopefully there's more teams in the top in the long term than just like 2 or whatever.
Yeah, because I think it sort of started the first time City have lost 2 league games for like years, like absolutely years, which I think it just proves what you're up against, that you can't lose games in the title race against Man City that you couldn't previous. You could lose a couple, draw quite a few, you'd still win the league if you won most of them. Just look at City's like next game, they've got Brighton at home in the league, and then they've got Man United away. So I mean, usually that's a difficult fixture. Man United, yeah.
6-point loss there.
I mean, but yeah, we've got Everton and Forest, so I mean, both at home, so we've got a good chance of in those two games to kind of, yeah, 6 points and then see what the damage is. And we could even be top of the league, hopefully, fingers crossed. Yeah. But yeah, let's leave it there, like, we've done a nice little chunk there on the season so far and whatever. And we're obviously looking forward to Everton next week, which is going to be very exciting. I think early kickoffs aren't ideal, but when it's Everton, when like you said, they've just won the last game, we want to smack them back down and put them back in the place. Yeah. And Liverpool are doing well. We're back at home. Doesn't feel like we've played anywhere near enough games at home this season. And it's always a joy when we do. And we're going to be together in the pub beforehand, having a few pints, going to the match together.
Yeah, the good thing with early kickoffs, even if I don't, you know, appreciate them as much as normal kickoff times, but the good thing is that it's no brekkie for me, it's a Guinness. You know, that's the thing. You don't go up for breakfast, but you go straight to the pub when it opens and be like, yeah, a pint of Guinness, please. And everyone's like, oh, a pint of Guinness at this time in the morning. Yeah, it's my breakfast. So, you know, it's one of them. Yeah, you don't need more than that.
Yeah, a little quick Guinness and you're good to go. Maybe get a little pie in at half time, and then actually you don't eat when that's the problem when I've been out with you. I'll just be like, yeah, have a few pints and then we'll have one, and you'll be like, oh, don't get food now. We'll have food later. And then before you know it, you've had 5 pints and you're like on your way to getting absolutely blitzed. And you're like, oh, should I get food now? And you're like, oh no, let's go here instead. And you're like, and you have another 2 pints, and then you're like, well, it's too late now because it's going to be a Mackie's job on the way home, like 2 burgers and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm preparing myself for that. It's funny. It's good stuff. But yeah, we shall leave it there. Thanks everyone for listening. As always, hope you enjoyed the show. I was joined by Christian. As always, I am Mick. And we will see you, yeah, very soon, hopefully next couple of days or next week to do a proper Everton preview where we'll discuss everything, the form table, the form book goes out the window and all that cliche shit, but we'll look into it over the next coming days. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Appreciate you listening. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopi Podcast.
Network.